Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, America, and good morning, world. Excuse me. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. I hope everybody is well and blessed in their part of the planet. And like I always say, make the best of what you have. Make the best of your current conditions. Because I assure you, change is coming. Change is on the way. There's absolutely no doubt about that, that change is coming. I'm pulling up something. Change is coming, folks. It's an amazing thing. Every day there's events and things that are going on. And you have to please excuse me. I'm a little under the weather. I got some type of crazy. I call it the suds. You know, like SpongeBob. He catches the suds. Well, I think I caught the suds. I don't know what this is. It's kind of like it's a weird cough and. I haven't been sick, and I can't even remember the last time I've been under the weather. I'm not sick. I was a little coughy and never congested, a little bit achy, and I just had a scratchy throat and a sore throat, and it's weird. And I do a lot of self medication. I do have doctor friends that I can call. My daughter, she's in med school. So, I mean, I can get, basic type, antibiotics and things like that. And typically when you go to the doctor, anyhow, the first thing they're going to do is check your throat and check your ear and your knee, your reflexes and so forth and so on. And, pop a little office visit bill on you and send you to the store to get, a $4 prescription of antibiotics, so I just keep them on hand just in case, and kind of just self-medicate. Not the best thing to do. I don't recommend it, but we all do our own thing, and hopefully I can get through this broadcast. I may have to cut it short. I don't know. But anyhow, I came on today, One Nation Under God, and if I can't make it through this broadcast, I'll come back with the same One Nation Under God, too. But I felt compelled to come on this morning so that my voice can be heard into the ears of influence in regards to the tragic happenings, the shootings in South Carolina. It was sad, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, it's just no reason for it. But there is a, I guess you might say, a cause. There's, you know, we have become disconnected, you know, as an American people, as an American family. And racism has been around for, you know, literally thousands and thousands of years. And in this country, of course, we went through a very racial time, you know, coming out of slavery, going through slavery, in and out of slavery, and things of that nature. But like I said, you know, and you've heard me say before, everything under the sun has its purpose. You know, there's nothing that sneaks up on God, you know, on the will of God and surprises him in all of humanity at any day, in any time. And even the thing of racism, of slavery, you've heard me say before that, you know, slavery was somewhat of a necessary evil. And the reason I say that is because the scripture, the Holy Scripture that we read out of, that, you know, the majority of, I would say, Americans or Christians or followers of God read from, including myself, and even though I'm not a Christian, I am a, because you know, hear me talk about Yeshua and bringing forth the truth, and I believe that there should be no denomination. Therefore, it is simply a spiritual way of life, is what I believe. As we talked about earlier, God being spirit, we are all spiritual beings on a human experience, in a human experience or a mortal experience. I talked to a gentleman the other day, and he was an African-American fella, older man, kind of bitter. Been through the thick of the civil rights. He told me about being, you know, spat upon and being denied certain, you know, equal rights and opportunities. He was able to land a job, you know, several years ago at the at General Motors. Went through some tough days. He shared with me some very tough days that he went through as an employee, you know, of General Motors, the mistreatment of his wife, and things of that nature that he had to stand up for, and his job was placed in jeopardy for standing up for something that was, you know, clearly showing favor. In one incident, you know, talking about his wife, she had carpal tunnel. From repetitive motion, you know, on the assembly line. There's about 20 or 19 or 20 other employees that suffered from the same condition or same symptoms of carpal tunnel. Ironically, they were all Caucasian. It was interesting that he came to work one day, and they both worked at the same plant, same facility. And he was like, well, where's my wife at? And supervisor said, well, she's back on the line doing repetitive motion again. And he's like, what are you talking about? How can you do that? And all of these people are in here, you know, reading manuals and doing, you know, very low labor and certainly non-repetitive type activities and still maintaining employment with General Motors. Of course, I mean, you know, that's just not fair. That's just, for her to be singled out, be placed back up on the line to further injure herself without explanation. But he was able to, you know, overturn that decision by the supervisor. They did have a union at that day and time, and it was dealt with. There was no, reprimanding, or there was no, write-ups or anything like that. It was just that she was told to go join the others in the low labor area and get herself better, get herself healed. But I'm just saying that, that's pretty unfair. That's pretty racial for her to be singled out, a female to be singled out and told to go back to work. So this is the ugliness that, we go through in this country. I mean, we call it the land of the free. Certainly it's the home of the brave. We all have to be brave and have had to be brave at times. Dr. King and Rosa Parks, even the whites that were involved in the civil rights movement and things that lost their lives and different things like that. Certainly a courageous people coming through a difficult time in our history. We've come a long way. We got a ways to go. We've certainly come a long way. For this young man, Mr. Roof, I can't remember what his first name is. It's not really relevant. It's not really important. But to walk into the church, sit through the service, get up an hour later and start shooting those people, leaving one lady said that he wasn't going to shoot her because he wanted her to tell the story. His manifesto I don't know what I would label it or title it. I'm just going to call it a manifesto. I would say it's a hate manifesto. Spoke about that since the KKK and the Nazis and other white supremacist groups won't take a stand against African Americans or against, the way America is today, he's going to do it. He's going to lead the way. And that's pretty powerful. I got to say, I must say that that's a pretty bold statement from a man 21 years old. I thought his uncle gave him the gun, but evidently he went and purchased it and went and done all those hateful deeds. It was interesting to hear his uncle say that if, and he hopes that he does get the death penalty for these actions, that he himself, his uncle himself, would push the button to terminate the life of his own nephew for these evil acts. And I thought that to be pretty powerful because if that were to come to pass and to play out, that's just really powerful. Their good shall prevail. Good shall conquer evil. On all levels, in all areas of the earth, because it is God's place, it is God's domain on earth as it is in heaven. So in order for that to be fulfilled and God's promise to be upheld, then good shall always conquer evil. It may not be in the present tense of what's going on. You can best believe in time, good will prevail. It will conquer evil. There will be a time on this earth that all mankind will live together in harmony and tolerate one another and accept one another and respect one another. It's not a complicated thing to do. It's just knowing who we are and what we represent. I found it interesting in the same conversation. I got some topics to talk about today. Let me just thank everyone for being here, first of all, and Blog Talk Radio for allowing my voice to be heard around the world. But I was talking to this gentleman, the African-American gentleman, and he said, how could this kid do this? And I said, well, he don't know who we are. He doesn't know who he is. And he says, what are you talking about? What is that? What are you saying there? I said, he doesn't know the spiritual being, you know, who he really is and what he represents. And then I went on to tell him, I told him that, as a matter of fact, we don't even know who we are and what we represent as African-American people. My earlier broadcast where I was talking about being, you know, 60 million of African people during the diaspora, being brought here to America and sold in slavery and bondage, and scattered amongst the land we know not, or as Leviticus would say, scattered amongst the heathen. The slavery and the selling of slaves was the scattering. We've covered that before. This is the only people in history on this earth that has been done in this manner, has been scattered in this manner. So it has to be relevant to the African-American people here in this country. The reason that we were scattered is so that we can bring mankind back to God. But first we have to know ourselves and know our purpose and correct ourselves and correct our purpose. Cleanse ourselves and cleanse our purpose and get back on the right track to bring mankind to salvation. And this is all a part of the process. This is an amazing thing with the killing that took place in South Carolina. This is all a part of the healing process. God is so, I mean, his vision is so far ahead of ours that we can't even imagine or fathom the end result of all the current activities, the things that are taking place right here and today. They have a purpose. Nothing happens on this earth without God knowing. And could he change things? Absolutely he could. He can change the mind of men. He can absolutely do that. I've seen him do it. But things have to happen to bring forth the perfection of humanity, the evolution of mankind, you know. We call ourselves a civilization. Those acts weren't civil or weren't civilized. Civil rights were taken. A civil act was done upon nine innocent people. An uncivil act, I should say. Let me correct that. But the power and the healing and the love behind that is what engulfs the wrongdoing and the hateful act. Immediately now we're seeing, you know, all of the flags, the Confederate flags being taken down, you know, which is the flag actually is a flag about Robert E. Lee and the Confederate Army. And I believe it was somewhere in West Virginia, where that was founded. I guess, you know, over time, that symbol of that flag was kind of a rebel flag and rebellious to the laws of the land, and it flew in the face of racism and slavery. And, you know, there's a people, well, pretty much all people that see that flag identify it as such. We have to be real. We have to be, you know, truth here. When we see that flag flying, that thought does cross the line, you know. So I'm just going to sum this up because a flag doesn't affect me in any way, form or fashion. It's merely a flag. I know people that, you know, fly the rebel flag, and we're cool, you know, we're friends. And I know they're not racist, but they do believe in their culture in the South. But it really has no purpose, you know, in governmental buildings, judicial, any place where there's, you know, taxpayer-supported revenues. It has no place. It needs to be immediately taken down and stored away in museums and things of that nature, where its history can be shared by all, appropriately shared by all. There should not be any debate, should not be any hesitation in the consciousness of the what you know people think about when they see the Confederate flag. It should be placed in, like I say, an appropriate location as our history, a part of our history. I was watching James, Representative James Clyburn. He spoke very eloquently, very nicely about the removal of the flag and where it should, how it should be placed, and that's what should happen without hesitation. Now, so love conquering is conquering evil. I've seen the KKK come out and throw out little, you know, little pamphlets, you know, 75 here, talk to my mom, 15 to here and there, and, you know, there's no impact there. That's old history, just like the flag, needs to go away, you know. People are too unified. There's too much love. There's too much God in people nowadays, and there's too much familiarity amongst, you know, all races to know that we are just one people. We're getting there, okay? So, but love is conquering that situation, and it will, and it shall prevail, because it's the will of God. No one can, you know, overpower or overthrow the will of God. Or his children, for that matter. The army of God, you know, who we are. And, you know, we're going to get this done. We're going to make this right. Minister Farrakhan came out. They had a little segment on Fox News today about Minister Farrakhan talking about the American flag. He said, you know, pretty much whatever with the, you know, Confederate flag, the American flag needs to come down, needs to, you know, be taken down because of all the slavery and hatred and stuff that was done under the American flag. Well, I don't, you know, I really don't particularly care for Minister Farrakhan because he is a hate person, a person of hate and division. He needs to be taken down, and he needs to go away. He's been suppressed for quite some time. We need to put him back in the closet because we don't need this type of energy, you know, in society today. Now, the Nation of Islam, that he is a founder, or he is a part of, I guess a leader of, is the principles of the Nation of Islam are pretty good, are pretty strong, pretty powerful, and progressive and positive. They were well-dressed people. Their houses were in order in terms of father, mother, children. They did not allow for shenanigans to take place in the home or in society. Their children were very, very orderly in the home and in society. Again, they were very well dressed. They were enterprising. I was talking about, you know, starting businesses as African American people. If you go to work and have a job, you know, be on time and do it well. Get your pay and go home and pray. Pray throughout the day. Being, you know, conscious of God. You know, they call him Allah. He is God. That's why I take the title and the label away and call him the Hallowed. So there will not be conflict there. But the principles of the Nation of Islam were very productive to society, very positive to society. They weren't thugs. They weren't running around shooting and killing that, you know, of course, you know, Malcolm X and, you know, a lot of people fell by the wayside, you know, as they did in all religions and ways of life. But the principle, again, was very, very positive. They sold the Final Call newspaper, bean pies, had businesses that were clean. There were cleanliness next to godliness. That's what they believe in, the principles they believe in. And I just wonder what happened, you know, to the Nation of Islam in that particular regard. You know, and I think I know. I think I do know. I'm not going to speak on it. Let's just say they were consumed by another way of life or religion. But the principle should come back, should be. You won't see them pants sagging and thugged out and all this other kind of stuff. Very neat bow tie, press shirt, clothes, nice suit. The women were well-dressed, covered, nice clothes. And again, the household and the society they kept were certainly in order. And he spoke about, like I say, doing away with the American flag. The American flag will never go away. The American flag is in America, and we will keep it in America as one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Here in America, that flag will continue to fly. There'll be too many people, too much of a rally call, if you dare to come try to, you know, harm that flag or take it away or whatever. This is not going to happen. But we need to get the flag issue over quickly, because as we debate and divide this Mr. Roof, his mission is being carried out. His what he, you know, set out to do is being carried out as we get further divided on this flag issue. This needs to be done quickly. Areas of influence. Any government, judicial, any type of tax-supported structure, facility, business, and those who want to, such as the large major corporations, Target, I think, and Walmart, and whoever and whatever, decide to take them out, so be it, but do it quickly. And get it over and done with and behind and out of the eyes and the ears of our modern society today. It's an amazing thing because back in 2005, the American Civil Liberties Union took the Ten Commandments. A lady in that organization took the Ten Commandments. We want to know what the problem is. Out of society, out of the judicial and the government buildings. I don't know how and why the judges, the Supreme Court, allowed this to occur. I know God himself is bewildered as to why we allow that to occur. But again, in his infinite wisdom, it has its purpose. And I think perhaps it's so that we could really fight like the Dickens and come together as one nation under God to bring this back. It says, I have 60 seconds to love one another, take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do simply because God is love. And I'll keep talking. But maybe perhaps so that we can unify and fight like the Dickens, you know, to bring the Ten Commandments back. I know some places in some states, they have ordered it back and they've allowed it to come back into those governmental buildings and different places like that. It should be mandatory. When you take God out of society, when the children can't, you know, be indoctrinated with the God spirit, be filled with the God spirit, you know, as a young age from more places than home, in throughout society, they have no respect. They have no respect or relation to God in throughout society because they don't see him. They don't hear him. They don't see his principles. They don't see his law. You know, this is a very, very wrong thing to do, but like I say, God does not, nothing happens in, you know, on the earth anywhere, anytime, by happen chance, and without God, you know, allowing it to be. Now, we have to take up the call and bring this back. My daughter's school, they say the Pledge of Allegiance, and they have a lot of, you know, other issues in the schools, crisscross dressing and all this other kind of craziness. But every day, they say the Pledge of Allegiance. I went up there to the first parts of the school years just to make sure that this occurred. They have a ROTC, young men and women, go out and present the flag or present the color, raise it every morning at about 5 minutes to 8. Everybody turns and they have a video or a visual, you know, of the flag, and everybody, and it comes over the loudspeaker, the Pledge of Allegiance. This is so important, folks. This is what is being taken out of society. When you have no allegiance to something, you're alone. You know, and when you're alone, you're in a space of potential confusion, being misled, being an outsider, all these other different things. And this needs to be reinstituted or reestablished back in all schools throughout the United States immediately. Mandatory. If people are offended by the Pledge of Allegiance, then maybe they can, you know, cover their ears or excuse themselves. I don't know, sit quietly or whatever the case. This is America, folks, you know, and we have to stand up for this great nation. We have people to go and fight and die, children to go and fight and die, you know, for this type, for this freedom, you know, for this country. And we have to show our allegiance, you know, to the cause of freedom, you know, for all. Why do you come here? Why do people come to this country? They come here, give us your tired, your poor, your yearning to be free. I mean, if you don't really, you know, if you're not, you know, standing with the freedom of America, then, you know, bid yourself adieu. But this is the land that we love, you know. And my forefathers, you know, my ancestors, they fought and built and died in blood, sweat, and tears, you know, to put, I remember they told me that, I think it was my great-grandfather, or my great-great-grandfather, in the town and city that he lived in, and he brought us to, of course, I wasn't even a thought at that particular time, or the twinkling in my mother's eye. But he helped pave brick roads by hand, laying brick by brick by brick in this nation, in the heartland of this nation. I'll say that. And think I don't have pride in that. Every brick I have pride in. This is why I'm the type of, you know, patriotic person that I am, because we are all involved in building this great nation. And we have to get that mindset and mentality in place throughout society, you know, so that it does not become an issue or question when it is, you know, the support and the defense, you know, of this land. How about this? I'm going to take you someplace right now. We are all African Americans here in America. I don't care if you're black, white, brown, red, yellow. It makes no difference. We are all African Americans. And you say, how can I say that? Well, let me see here. I know I'm running out of time. I may not get to the song today, and hopefully I have time to share this with you. But you can't deny the truth, because the truth shall make us all free. Now, I am reading out of King James Genesis 2, And they're talking about 2 and 6, but it went up and mixed from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Not a living mortal or a body, but a living, here's these two words, living soul or a living spirit. We are all spiritual beings in a mortal experience, okay? It's right here. And the Lord planted the garden east of Eden, and there he put man who he had formed out of the ground, and the Lord God made him the tree of pleasant in sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, the tree of life of good and evil. And we're just going to glance over this right quick. The name of the first, where these four rivers came out of or came to a head, the Pison, the whole land of Halavala, where there is gold, and the gold is good, and the onyx stone, and the name of the second, the Gihon. Now listen to this, folks. And the name of the second river is the Gihon, the same that encompasses the land of Ethiopia. Okay, now Ethiopia is in Africa, folks. It is yesterday, it is today, and it is tomorrow. And the reason, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. The reason that he used and that he allowed man to put these rivers, these geographic locations, or these geographic markers in place, is so that they will never ever change. You know, the Euphrates, it may dry up and from the earth, but there will be a historic record, you know, of these rivers in this land of Ethiopia. Okay, and they put man in the garden and stuff. He made him right there in the garden in the land of Ethiopia. We've traced through our carbon data capabilities, technology, the oldest Y chromosome on the earth in man, on the man out of the male gene, and this found not ironically, but in confirmation in Ethiopia. You can look at a little film on YouTube called The Journey of Man by Spencer Wells. Very nice piece, very solid and a confirming piece. So if man was all created, the first man was made in Ethiopia or in Africa, and we have all migrated and evolved to where we are today here in America, that makes all mankind African Americans. It's simple as that. And I know a lot of people just say, what? What? Whoa. But ain't nobody been able to refute or deny that. You know, so we're all in this together, folks. You know, Rush Limbaugh says one day that, and we're just going to leave that at that. We'll come back and revisit that and dig a little deeper in that one. But Rush Limbaugh says that you're going to attack the old glory next? Never. They're all. You're talking about a gathering of folks to defend that flag? It's not going to happen. No way. We're going to jump to the politics right quick for a short second. Watch out for Ben Carson. I've been telling you this from a long time ago. I called him a dark horse. I said, pun intended. But watch out for this guy. And simply because he has some conservative values and principles that will help correct this nation. Ms. Clinton, I think that she will be the first lady president, but she needs to take on some of those principles and get, you know, people to get up, the lazy folks. And let me just say this before I go. We want to fix the prison system because it's all a conspiracy. We're going to touch on that. I'm going to come back and do a segment on that. But this whole prison thing is a conspiracy. This is what Ben Carson talks about individuals and people, you know, carrying their own weight and cutting their own, you know, their own lane. And getting off of this welfare system. Welfare was designed for a hand up, not a hand out. Okay, we want to fix the prison system. The first thing we can do immediately, take the air conditioners out. Take the air conditioners out of all the prisons. Just cut them off. You know how much money taxpayers are saving just by cutting off air conditioning? You don't make the prison a place of luxury. You know, like you got air conditioning and heat and all the, you know, TV and gyms and all the. What do you think this is? That's better than Howard Johnson's or with LA Fitness or something carrying on. With just with bars, you just can't leave. I mean, when you look at people that are struggling today in life, in society, and they don't have air conditioning, they don't have food and lights and different things like that. I mean, jail or prison is a pretty healthy, a pretty positive alternative. It's kind of a step up. But if these people would simply go out and find a job, get, you know, build a community, go to work, do things the right way, as the children of God, they will find that they will, you know, break that cycle, and, you know, and crush that conspiracy, and be productive citizens in the United States. This is what Ben Carson is all about. And this is a positive message. You know, so keep an eye on this guy. And Ms. Clinton, you know, you're going to have to kind of, you know, learn from that and bring forth the same message. We'll get behind you. People are going to get behind you because this is the right thing. This is what society needs to be right now. We need to be a productive society, you know, so that we can, you know, cleanse ourselves, cleanse the African-American people, stop hating one another, killing one another, you know, start respecting one another. How do we expect anyone else to respect us if we don't respect ourselves, if we don't, you know, take care of ourselves? The young lady in Texas, that got into the altercation with the law enforcement officer, like I said, if it would have been my daughter and he told her to go home, she'd have been in my driveway in less than 5 minutes. And she would have seen the fight break out. She's in her car headed home. Because, you know, there may be stray bullets, you know. But all this stuff, we have to come into correction. And it starts with our children, our youth. That's what I'm saying. The basic fundamentals, the basic principles need to be reinstituted right here and now so that they can latch on, so they can have these, you know, in their system, in their bodies, in their minds, in their hearts. So when the decision, the crossroad of decision comes to pass, they'll make the good decision. All right, so anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. I'm going to come back and kind of break some things out and expand upon some things. Love one another. Take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do, simply because God is love. This is one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. But we have to carry it out as a human society of one. Take care, and so long for now.